that's what I need. That's all I'm longing for, my Lord Jesus.
Song to sing first thing this morning. I would like to ask you to turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17 to 20. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful yet again this morning to be in your house. What a wonderful privilege that it is for us in this day that we live in. Father, on this Sunday morning, some would just lie in bed, some would go to the park, some would go to do sports and to the gym and other things, Lord. But Father, we have found such grace in your sight that we could come into this old building to gather around your word, to hear your counsel for us for this day. We ask now that you bless us, Lord, and as we commit this morning into your hands, come in our midst, Father, and speak thy word once more. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. It's wonderful to be able to come here to do Sunday school after such a long time. I've been on a holiday for a very long time, but I thank God who's been healing me and giving me strength more and more, so much that it is quite a miracle for me. A lot of people would rather that I sit down, so that I can get well, you know. A lot of people would rather I stay home also, you know, so that I don't drive and come here. But I don't know. I really believe in the Lord and in his ability to answer prayers, you know. You know, the prayers were made for quick recovery, and I'm recovering very quickly. So just keep praying, you know. I'm doing just fine. I was supposed to go and work in Israel next week, and I had already made a booking for the hotel and the flights. And one of my colleagues I work with very closely, he rang me and he said, please, please don't go. It's too early for you, you know. You can cancel that project and do it some other time, you know. So I said, look, I do not want to offend your conscience. And I canceled it. But I believe that whether I'm here or in Israel, the Lord would look after me. Amen. And I also wanted to share something small this morning. I just have to share it. I hope it's okay, Brother Nat. Last week when we were preparing to go for the youth meetings, Brother Nat has been bringing along another young sister, and he had already paid for his two daughters to go to the camp meetings, and Sister Jovi was here, and so I asked this young sister, are you coming to the camp, you know? She said, I don't know, you know. So I said, okay, I asked Sister Jovi, and she told me, she said, hey, brother, we would love for her to go, but we've already paid for the two girls, and it's not easy for us to afford for this third one. I said, sister, don't even mention it again, you know, pack her bag and let her come. So she came to the camp, and you only had to be there. I'm not going to explain to you what happened there. You only had to be there to experience what happened there, and we pray that that same thing continues here as well. So anyway, we came back from the camp, and the children gave a good report to Brother Nat and showed pictures. And Brother Nat really was touched by the Lord. This is amazing what happened. So he shared this with the father of the young sister to say, look, your child went for a camp. The church allowed her to go without paying and so forth. And this is what happened at the camp. And the father was so grateful. He said, I am so thankful. There is no way I can let the church pay for this. And he sent us money. It's right there on my seat to pay for her daughter, because he said this was just amazing what happened there. And I'm so grateful to the church. And I can't let people pay for my own daughter to do this. So we want to thank God for that. I would like to look at the life of the Apostle Paul in a different light this morning, just to encourage one another, because we all love Paul. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and whatever Paul preached is what the prophet preached. And we are all resting on that. And it's really good that in our day, God has given us much more grace than any other age, in that we can trace the life of Brother Branham, and we learn a lot of things out of his life. The way he dealt with circumstances, the way he prayed for people, the way God gave him messages. You know, he's walking up a mountain and there's a cigarette pack and a thinking man's filter, you know. And the Lord speaks to him through that. So when we look at the life of the prophet of our age, we learn quite a lot of things apart from what he preached standing in the pulpit. So it's quite a great privilege. We find the same thing happened with Luther, Martin Luther. You know, if you like reading and you have read about the Reformation and how Luther came to the point where he put the 95 theses on the door of the church at Wittenberg, you can look at all the circumstances of what was happening in the background, or how he ended up holed up in a castle and he was translating the Bible. And you know, it does something, because I can stand here and preach, and the pastor can stand here and preach, you know. But I think that when you people look at your life, it's a greater sermon than any sermon you can ever say from the pulpit. So there's something about it, definitely, looking at the life of a person, especially such a man of God that God used so mightily to begin the church ages for us Gentiles. And we can have an opportunity to look at some of the things in his own life. and learn something. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the life story of Paul, part one, part two, part three. So we have to rely on the scriptures to find some little things here and there and put them together and look at the life of Paul. So by God's grace, we'd like to do that. Perhaps over, it might not all finish today, so we'll find another opportunity to finish. So the way I would like to do it is Paul wrote a number of books in the Bible, you know, in the New Testament, the majority of them. But there are three books in the Bible, we call them books now, but they are really letters that Paul wrote to an individual. You know, the book of Timothy, he wasn't writing to the church at Corinthians, you know, the church at, he wrote it to Timothy as a letter. You know, even to Titus, he wrote a letter, you know, or to Philemon. Those three are letters that Paul wrote to individuals. And you know what it is like, many of you that are sitting here. Before there was WhatsApp and emails, we used to write letters, you know. And I don't think there's anything more personal than writing a letter to a person. There's just something about sitting down and writing a letter that you can pour yourself onto the pages of the paper because you really want this person to get what you mean. So that maybe it's instructions or you are telling them you love them or something like that. I used to write a lot of letters, you know, when I was courting my wife. We didn't have email. We didn't have WhatsApp or SMS even. There was no SMS. So we used to keep a book, an A4 book with pages in there. I would write on the first page, you know, and sign at the bottom, send it to her. She writes the book back, you know, until we finish the 32-page book and get another one, you know. It was easy to keep track of the conversation that way. So Paul, he wrote letters as well, you know. And when you get to read a letter that somebody wrote, you can really pick something out of it, you know. And by God's grace, we would like to do that, especially when we get to the book of Philemon. But just to begin to go through it right now, I would like to read this letter that he wrote to Timothy. There was something between Paul and Timothy, even the way that he addressed him. He says, my son, Timothy. Amen. You know, there was a relationship of a father and a son in that Paul would have discipled Timothy. Yeah. And so it came to a place where now they were not together anymore. And Paul would write a letter to Timothy and tell him important things because you have only so much space, you know, in a paper to write a letter to someone. So you are going to put very important and needful things and express them in a way that you know that Timothy, my son, needs this. You know, he is going to rely on this. I remember when I got a letter from my brother when I turned 21, I was away from home at university, and he wrote me a letter that I have never forgotten ever since because he gave me what he called the keys of life. You know, at 21, you give your child a key. These days, they tend to stay home longer, you know. But he told me, this is a key to life, my brother, you know. Psalm 1, when you read Psalm 1, the whole chapter, blessed is the man that stands not, you know, and it meant something to me. I knew that my brother is older than me, I will need this. And I've read it every birthday I've had ever since, and in between too. And Paul then, he writes this letter to Timothy. Now, we don't have time to read the whole letter, but where we read, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. So he's charging him with something, telling him something that is very, very important for the life of Timothy and the work that he was doing in the place where he was. This charge I commit thee, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And that's what we are doing here. We are all in a warfare, a good warfare that we must war against the devil. And where Timothy was, he was warring as well. And so Paul was trying to equip Timothy to help him in this war that he was warring. And Paul was a man with a lot of experience. You know how we love the experiences of Brother Branham, and God teaches through a lot of the experiences that we go through. So when you hear somebody who's a man of experience, you know, who's gone on before you in the Lord, and they give you some kind of advice, it's good to pay heed to that kind of advice. I remember once Brother David calling me and giving me advice, you know, and I appreciated it because he's been before me in the Lord, and I took it, and I've avoided a lot of problems in my life. Because I was the kind of a guy that you really have to tie me and nail me to the wall to stop me. You know? We used to share the church with some people that had a church upstairs, and we had church downstairs. And when they start to sing and marching and everything, it would really annoy us downstairs. You know, but they were rejoicing in the Lord in the way they know. We were down there trying to listen to the pastor preaching. And they would be like, these people are just looking. And they would come late to church and park in a way to block us in, you know. And then we can't go home afterwards, you know. So one day I went out there and I said, I'm going to move my car. If I scratch their cars, that's up to them, you know. And I moved and I scratched the car of the other people, you know. And Brother David came, you know. Are you okay, Brother Will? You know, nicely, diplomatically, you know. I said, yeah, Brother Dave, these people are just looking for an occasion, you know, to start us, you know. I'm going to give them one, you know. That's how much wild I was, you know. But he counseled me. He said, you know, Brother Will, we must live peacefully with all men, you know. And I really knew it, that I'd done something wrong. And I took that advice, and it has kept me out of all troubles so far. So I thank God for that. So there is Paul saying, I charge you, I commit unto you, son Timothy, holding faith and a good conscience. So he is bringing in two elements here that he wants to commit unto to Timothy, because he has seen how needful those things are. Now, it's not only in verse number 19 that he speaks about holding faith and a good conscience. He also speaks the same thing back in verse number 5. You know, if I can read for you from verse 3. As I besought you to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So all these things are important. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. So there is Paul now summarizing everything that Timothy needs. And he says the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. What is unfeigned? Faith that is not put on. Real faith out of a pure heart. That's why I appreciated the song Brother George sang this morning, because it's very important for a believer to do things out of a pure heart, with unfeigned faith in God. You know, sometimes we do things, yeah, I'll give the brother a lift, but in your heart, it's not coming out of a pure, I'm not talking about you, it just came to my mind, you know, because I remember it used to happen before. We would have a wonderful, wonderful brother that many of us loved, and his name is Eric. We remember Eric very well. A wonderful man that if you spend time with him, there was something about him. But he had his weaknesses, our brother Eric. But so it would come to a place where he comes to us and nobody wants to lodge him in his house, you know, except Brother George. Because he had his weaknesses. And once we went to his house and he offered us tea, you know, it would take a pure heart to drink tea. But that's what God requires of a Christian. That whatever that we do, it must be out of a pure heart. With faith unfeigned. Because these things are necessary. In verse 6, Paul says, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jugglings. So if you swerve away from a pure heart, swerve away from faith and faint, you end up in the same place. He said, some have swerved away from this and to vain jugglings, and you end up doing all this, you know, because now you are not really doing things out of a pure heart. You lie to this brother here, then you have to handle it in a certain way, and now you need to collaborate that story with that one. You know, like you're juggling. Until the stories are too much, they start falling down, you know. You can't do that. Why? If we go back to verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You will make a shipwreck of your faith. If you do things out of not a pure heart, you've got to be holding a pure heart, and your faith has to be genuine in God. Anything else, you are going to make a shipwreck. Now, a shipwreck is a terrible thing, because to build a ship is a big undertaking. You build a ship and it's there for everybody to see, like Noah did. They all saw, because it was a huge ship. We all saw the Titanic, how big it was. And what an undertaking it was to put a ship together, then put it out to sail there, and then it makes a shipwreck. We all know for ages and ages to come that the Titanic was a shipwreck. It still is a shipwreck today. You really, when things go to a shipwreck, you can't salvage them many times. You just have to build another ship, you know. So Paul is instructing Timothy, say, I've had experience in my life. These things are necessary for a believer. I have seen people that have gone ahead and done things without a pure heart, like Hymenaeus and Alexander, and they ended up making a shipwreck. So Paul is giving this experience as a lesson to Timothy to teach him so that he is equipped to war a good war. And that's what we must pick also this morning, that whatever that we do, if it is not out of a pure heart, we are really putting ourselves in jeopardy of a shipwreck. But whatever we do, whether it be to sing a song, whether it be to put water for a minister here, whether it be to clean the church, let it be out of a pure heart. The moment it's less than a pure heart, we will make a shipwreck. It has to be like that. You do wrong like someone else did, and you end up like that person. You know, whether you are coming here to sing songs or to play the guitar, or you are sitting there singing and clapping hands, let it be out of a pure heart, with faith unfeigned, faith that is not put on. Even if to give someone help, bring them to church or whatever you do, when you do things out of a pure heart, out of that, that's how you get established as a Christian. But Paul had to, in the end, commit Hymenaeus and Alexander to the devil, you know. Because these guys caused some trouble for Paul, you know, especially Alexander. He mentions him a lot, you know. And he tells in one place, I think is the same book of Timothy, and he says to Timothy, beware of Alexander the coppersmith. He did me much evil, because he stood against them when Paul was trying to do something. The people rioted against Paul because of Alexander the coppersmith. And so he says, beware of him. So there's something about these letters when you go and look. Paul poured himself out and put his life on these few pages. And we can look at them as we go on and pick a few things out of his life that he commits to Paul, to Titus, to Philemon, to teach them out of his own life experiences, you know, and to help them to become established as believers. I don't think we'll pick up the next thing here because our time is gone. But by God's grace, we shall look at a few other things. It's not many. And see from the life of Paul what we could pick that can help us in the day that we are living in. Because it's a complex age, you know. There's too much pressure. Everybody is under pressure, especially when they are not a Christian. And it's very easy to begin to operate as a dual being, you know, because we are dual, and not use a pure heart. But with all men, we must show love. With all men, we must not show difference between Brother Wilmo or Brother Sasha, you know. We are all the same. So may God bless you. We shall look more into this as the Lord allows time. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for your grace and your mercies to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Lord, we are looking forward once more to a blessing. May you come, Lord, and Father, speak once again to your children through the singing of the music, through the preaching of the word. Lord, how wonderful you have been to us this year, looking at what you are doing in the midst of our children. Father, you are good, you are wonderful, you are lovely. We pray for them this morning that, Lord, they will just continue on and not stop until they have come into your presence and you fill them with your Holy Spirit. Grant it, Lord. Bless our brethren that shall lead us in song worship this morning. We commit them into your hands, Lord, that you use them, Father, to continue from where we left off on Friday at the camp. Lord, we pray for the minister, Lord, as he waits on thee. Lord, anoint our brother Cheslin and use him mightly also this morning. Father, even as we would meet with all these children after church today, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you give them your godly wisdom and that, Father, they would prepare themselves, Lord, that when we come to baptism next week, Lord, let it be special. We pray, Father, that you would come and fill every one of them with thy Holy Spirit, Lord. Bless the saints that are not here this morning. We commit them into your hands and ask you, bless them also. We ask all these blessings for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.